Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Kevin, please be careful, called 5-year-old Kevin's mom as he wound his way higher up the tall climber and then scrambled across a little rope bridge to another structure. Then it happened. He lost his footing and hit the ground beneath with a thud. She rushed to comfort her tearful child, but he quickly scrambled to his feet and brushed the wood chips off his sweatshirt. "I'm okay, Mom," he insisted, as he ran off toward a corkscrew sliding board. From a parent's perspective, how can we assess what is safe for our children on a public playground? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today we have as our guest a landscape architect engineer who is also a certified playground safety inspector. Grace Fielder wrote some of the earliest guidelines and safety standards for playgrounds. She formed her own design firm 9 years ago, which designs and plans 10 to 15 playgrounds every year. While Grace is not a parent, she's a much-valued aunt to her 3 nieces and 3 nephews. She grew up on a farm, what she refers to as the ultimate playground. We're glad you could join us today, Grace.
Thank you for having me.
What should parents look for in a safe playground?
I think the first thing that you look for in a playground is, do you feel comfortable? Before you take your kids there, do you feel comfortable? Scope out a playground before you take them there, because you don't want to tell a child that, hey, let's go to the playground today, and get there and find out that you really don't want to be there, that it's not comfortable, that it's not safe. And I think just that visual overall look first as to what your comfort is. Is it busy? Is it active? Or is it a nice, quiet playground? Those are the type of things that you look for first in a playground.
Are some structures safe for one age group and unsafe for another?
Yes. I think the thing that we often don't take into consideration as adults, you know, we're used to doing everything, but as children evolve, they have different abilities, both in their learning and their physical abilities. And playground equipment has been basically broken up into 2 age groups, 5 and under and 5 and older. And if you look at your children's hands and compare it to you size-wise, and then pick up something, you know, how large is the object that they can grasp? Those are the type of things that have evolved in the design of playground equipment. We don't, as a firm, design playground equipment. We leave that up to the manufacturers, who are governed by American Society of Testing Materials, Consumer Playground Safety Inspections.
When I look at a playground, I am so astounded by today's equipment, because I grew up with metal swing sets and chains that the swings hung from and metal jungle gyms. Now, I would still be comfortable on a metal jungle gym. I probably wouldn't be very graceful, and I don't think I'd want to try it. But I don't think that's what I'd want to take my children to.
Actually, metal playgrounds are still the most often used, as opposed to wood. The problem with wood has been, while it was really very popular in the early 70s, is it splinters. Mm. And you dig out huge splinters in someone's hands, and that is more of a difficulty than the metal. The problems with metal is the heat and the use of lead paint. But in remembering back to the days, we were discussing a great piece of play equipment that was on the playground where we went to school. It was called an ocean wave. And basically, this ocean wave was, you couldn't be on it till you were in 5th and 6th grade. So first of all, you had to have achieved a certain age. It was a rite of passage. And basically, it was a huge pole on top of which was placed a ice cream cone. And then around the bottom of the ice cream cone, where you would place the scoop, was a ledge and a bar. And you would stand there and you would hold on it and you would pump this piece of equipment back and forth as it banged against the metal pole, and it became an ocean wave. So you can imagine this wave of kids just pumping this piece back and forth. It was super. You wouldn't dare put something like that today on a playground, but it was a lot of fun. And it is taking those motions and trying to incorporate them in today's play equipment and that fun and excitement that we had as kids that has really become a challenge. And it's a visual excitement that you pick up on the playground, and it's also a physical challenge. So even though it is a playground, we're physically challenging children to develop their muscles and their thinking and their reasoning powers. So that's part of what is involved in playgrounds and playground design.
So sometimes the best thing is a tree?
Trees are great. Trees are great. I used to be an accomplished tree climber.
The ocean wave that you describe, why would that be an unsafe piece of equipment?
Today, it would have too many moving parts. The ability for a child to put their foot or hand between the edge of the outside and the middle pole, pinching obtrusions, kids get knocked off onto the ground.
Now, speaking of getting knocked off onto the ground, what about playground ground coverings these days? We've gone through a whole lot. Of course, when we were little, I remember my father taking a tweezers and picking the gravel out of my knees from when we were growing up, and now they've already metamorphosed to the wood chips and so on.
There's been a great deal of study done on that, and now the material that is used on a playground, and this is a constantly evolving science. It's not a hard and fast science. In the days of seeing asphalt on the playground, while there are few, there are still playgrounds that have asphalt. Sand, wood chips, pea gravel, shredded tires. Safety is judged by the depth of the material. And the depth of the material is based on the American Society of Testing. And it is a fairly a graphic representation, but I'll give you the one that was used in the class when I took the class in order to get certified as a playground safety inspector. It's like dropping a cantaloupe onto a surface, and what would it take not to have that melon break? Mm-hmm. And that's how you judge the depth, because that's, if you will, that's a child's head. From a tallest part of an equipment, it is always judged from the very peak of the equipment with the child standing as to how far it could fall and what the depth of that material must be. So it's evolved, and it is still evolving.
I love the description of shredded tires. That's the first time I've ever heard of rubber used as a base. I'd rather fall on that if I were going to fall than anything else I've heard you mention.
Shredded tires is great. The difficulty with shredded tires, and we've recently used that on a number of playgrounds, is on a very hot day. They really, really hold heat. It is a petroleum product, and it holds heat.
Are there certain surfaces that are more heat reflective than heat absorbing?
The most popular currently is an engineered wood fiber, and it's not the wood chips, which back in the early 80s was considered to be state-of-the-art, was to use wood chips or pea gravel or sand.
You have to explain what pea gravel is. Okay. I keep thinking of little pieces of gravel like
okay,
I had
actually,
my knees.
Actually, it is gravel that's about the size of a pea, and it is called pea gravel.
Why would anybody use that?
Well, when you go into a playground, it tends to slow you down because it's hard to wade through. When you fall, you know, it's like falling on a bed. It absorbs your fall. You know, the gravel will move.
But doesn't it get into your skin?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sandy's image of her father with the tweezers is what comes to mind.
Dreadful. We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion of playground safety.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. Today we are talking with Grace Fielder about playground safety.
If we have concerns about equipment our child wants to play on, how can we get information about the equipment? How can we find out more about playground equipment?
I think a very good source would be to go to your local Parks and Recreation Authority and find out what
agencies they go to locally, whether or not there's any state or local ordinances that govern. While there is the, you know, National American Society of Testing Materials, certainly we design things to ADA, which is a national standards. There's also a lot of local interest and some local rules that apply. That would be your best starting point, would be to go to a local parks and recreation, your closest one.
Can parents judge just by the naked eye if a piece of equipment seems to be too high or might be wobbly or might be not screwed together tight enough? Can we tell that?
You can in some cases. If you walk up to a piece of playground equipment and you put your hand on it and it shakes, if you can physically move it, that's not where you want to have your child play. You can look for loose screws. You can look for missing nuts on a piece of equipment. If you have a concern, don't play on it.
So basically we have to say no, you can't use that piece of equipment today.
And I know that's a tough word to say, but no is a good word. If you have a concern, then it's not where you want to have your child play.
What about some of the old standby equipments? We're all sort of reminiscing about how a lot of things we used to do are no longer considered safe. But what about swings and seesaws and sliding boards and all that? Are there different rules now for them?
There's been a lot of changes. And the first real change was in the swing. Swings used to be 90 degrees to the horizontal bar, which is where the swings are attached to. And now if you look at a swing and the way it's installed, it is no longer that way. If they're 90 degrees, you can stand on the seat and you can hold on and you can swing standing up. We all know that's dangerous.
But we all did it.
We all did it. So you could see how far you could jump. You know, who could jump possibly the furthest? Well, you'll note now that most of swings have been moved so that they're slightly at an angle, and that prevents somebody from standing on the seat and being able to hold on and get that swing standing up. So that's a real change. In seesaws, what was really the issue with seesaws was one kid getting off, the other kid being left a flap. They now have a more of a cushioned fall. Sometimes you'll see a half a tire that's been used or something that's more of a bounce. There's also some that have been created with huge springs so that you get that action, but if you lose the other end of the fulcrum, the child doesn't go off, if you will, into the air by being also in those points in the center on the fulcrum. We now have more caps over those so you can't get your hands into the fingers into the moving parts. So there's been more protection built in. Slides, you look at the top of a slide and there's now a bar that goes across in the leg or in the chest area so that a child is forced to sit down. Parents are really great about this because about the fourth time a child goes down a slide and they're looking a little bored, the parent goes, well, let me show you how to walk up the slide. And I really encourage parents to teach the kids to respect the play equipment and to respect others and not teach that type of activity, because that's where the injuries really occur, is from misuse of playground equipment, is where one of the injuries. Another thing in the safety is parents should look at what their child actually has on when they go to a playground. Hooded sweatshirts, while very popular, are dangerous if you have a loose string that's hanging and you have a child that goes down a sliding board and that string gets caught. You've left the child in a hanging situation. And particularly little kids don't have the upper body strength to catch themselves and pull themselves back up out of that hanging situation. And that's one of the worst accidents. So looking at for protrusions, pinching points, all those things are very important in going in and inspecting playgrounds. If you see an unsafe situation or a situation that you're concerned about, call your local agency. They don't want the accidents to occur on the playgrounds any more than you do.
What else should we be aware of? What about their shoes, for example?
Well, tennis shoes are good, rubberized surfaces, because that helps grip as opposed to a flat leather surface. My niece took a tumble from a horizontal crossbar not thinking she had worn a pair of gloves, and they didn't have grips on them. And when she did the overhead ladder, she fell and ended up with a pin in her elbow. Oops. And even though it was, you know, good material underneath, so what children have on their hands, on their heads, loose clothing, you know, keep the clothing tight, keep the jackets buttoned up, keep the zippers zipped up so that you don't have things that are loose and away for them to catch in the pieces of equipment. I'm not saying take away the fun. And while you're at the playground, play with your kids. I had a great time with my two youngest nieces. I'll share this story. We got into playing Billy Goat Gruff on the playground, and it was a terrific little bridge that went across and clattered, as we all remember from that story with Billy Goat Gruff. And as we played, more kids on the playground got excited about what we were doing. So before we were done, as we were playing Monsters and Billy Goat Gruff and trying to capture these kids as they ran across the bridge, we had more and more kids joining. So as you are in that playground, experience that. Let the piece of equipment become something else. And that really gets the kids excited. I mean, they like to play with you too.
And it gives them the concept that they can also do creative things.
Absolutely.
As long as it's within safe guidelines.
Safe guidelines.
Which is, I guess, something that we need to talk about a little bit. What age is appropriate to drop your child off at a playground and not be there?
None.
Thank you. It's important to hear. It's important for all of us to hear.
It's always important that you supervise your children, that you know who they're with. When you take your children to the playground, don't give them a soda bottle, something that's breakable. No breakables on a playground. Those are important considerations, too.
But you're stressing, don't drop them off. Make sure you're there.
It's not a drop-off place.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion of playground safety.
For an audio cassette copy of Any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. Today we are talking with Grace Fielder about playground safety.
My oldest nephew is 21 and my youngest niece is 10. And when I bring them into the metropolitan area, because most of them live in the rural area of Maryland, I have had a chance to go to playgrounds as an aunt, not only as a designer, but an aunt, and really see what has evolved in the last 10, 15, 20 years. I think the first time I designed a playground was back in about 1974. So I'm really getting a historic view on things.
When we enter a new playground with our child, are there any red flags that we should watch for that might warn us this is not a good playground to stay at?
If you have a red flag that goes up in your mind, it's not the place to be. All too often, we don't heed that inner voice within ourselves that says no. But if you do see, you know, broken glass, trash around, it's probably not a well-maintained facility, which means that the equipment may not be well-maintained. And again, you're looking for loose bolts. And unfortunately, playgrounds can be well-maintained and then be vandalized. And that's why we're also looking for those other facilities, such as the inline or the skate parks for the younger adults. To have a place to go play, to use their energies instead of coming to the playground and vandalizing those.
Speaking of behavior, should parents teach children playground rules of any kind before they take them to a playground?
I think if you follow the rule of courtesy, it's not always me first. You know, let another child go ahead, share. You know, let another child join in your games. You know, playgrounds are great places to start learning social skills. And that's a very important part of what goes on in playgrounds. So I think if you teach courtesy, that you're way on down the line. And don't teach them all the bad rules that you knew how to play as an adult the first time that they're at a playground. No going up slides backwards or standing on the swings.
Or butting in line.
I know you've been involved in designing playground for disabled children, and I wanted to know what the differences might be, why disabled children can't go to a regular playground.
Disabled children have many different and special needs. One of the very special needs is to feel included and to not feel singled out and different. And in the design of a playground, you can make a child feel very special and yet not feel that they're different. And also by introducing disabled children into a playground experience, other children will no longer consider them to be different because you're putting them on an equal plane. But there are many special design considerations that have to be taken into account. One of the reasons for the engineered wood fiber, which I spoke about earlier, is that it will take the weight of a wheelchair and allow a wheelchair to be movable on a surface. Shredded tires, one of the reasons for their popularity. And we talk about shredded tires, while there's loose shredded tires, the shredded tires are most often put together with sort of a glue and emulsion and made into a spongy surface. And that is most often used in a wheelchair accessible situation. Ramps have been added. We were involved in a project, and it was really to be inclusive for all children. Some of the special design considerations beyond the selection of the equipment, which was a pirate ship that a child could board on a wheelchair or that floated on an ocean. We did a lot of special pavement work with the shredded tires and did blue for an ocean that flowed over the edge into some rushed grass. We had a castle with a moat around it. There was a frontier fort. A lot of these pieces of play equipment had already been picked out by the foundation that we did the work for. And this is a pro bono job that we did, something we don't typically do, but it was a special situation.
Pro bono means?
Free gift.
Which is very kind.
Is essentially what pro bono means. Yes. And it was really exciting. When you consider wheelchairs on a playground, when you consider wheelchairs on a surface, you have to have a lip so that if there's a slight slope, a wheelchair can roll. But if it has a lip on it, a wheelchair cannot roll off the edge. It will stop. So those were some of the things. We had visually impaired individuals, so striking color contrasts or a change in pavement surface so someone could not exit an area without knowing that they had gone too far. They were definitely out of line. So that you use a color contrast with older folks, it's easier for them to see dark as opposed to light, you know, the reflective light situations. They were concerned about autistic children, and pictures were placed saying this is a slide. It was a picture of a slide on a slide, a picture of a swing on a swing, a picture of a rocker on a rocker. So the child knew that this is a slide. You can touch the slide, you can feel the slide, you can play on the slide, and this is what a slide is, and here's the word that's associated. So those type of things. There was also, I think, one of the neatest things which really brought the whole thing together was the development of a special piece of equipment that provided a sign, a braille, and the letter. So if you had the letter A, you could see what the hand sign was for it, and you could also feel the braille, and they were lined up. And there was the entire alphabet. And to me, that was really kind of a bringing of it all together. And the day that this particular playground opened, and hopefully there'll be many more across the country as time goes on, there was a young gentleman, I would say he was 12 or 13, who was hoisted from his wheelchair and placed into this special swing that had been developed for handicapped children. And he was able to swing and be free for the first time and not be in somebody's arms and not be in a wheelchair. And I think I shall always carry that memory of that smile and his laugh in my mind. That was the most special moment for me.
Well, this has been very special for the two of us and our listeners. We've learned an awful lot about playground safety, and we want to thank you, Grace, for being with us.
Oh, it's absolutely a pleasure.
Our gift for our first caller today will be an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. That's 1-800-791-8573. We look forward to hearing from you. We'd like to send you Parents as Mentors. Our book is available at all major bookstores and through the web. To order tapes of any show, send a $5 check or money order to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. That's Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
You can also reach Parents Perspective through your local station or by email to parentsper, that's P-A-R-E-N-T-S-P-E-R, at AOL.com, or again, call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. To learn more about us and our book Parents as Mentors, visit our website through our shortcut address, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.